We're going through a series in the first letter of John, but as I was praying about this today, last night and this morning, we're going to take a week off from the first letter of John. I'd like us to continue when we have all of us back together, and I believe the Lord's leading me in a different direction this morning. So I want to take you to Jeremiah. It's one of my favorite books of the Old Testament. I say that about Genesis too, and Exodus, and a lot of other ones too. So we see Jeremiah in chapter 1 being called to ministry. And we see him in this passage as a reluctant minister, a reluctant servant. And it's a time when Israel is going through a difficult time as a nation. And before we come to our passage, I'd just like to pray. I'd just like to open in prayer. Father, thank you for your word, and we pray that your word would speak to us today. I pray that you would guide and lead my words, and Lord, I pray that all of our hearts and minds would be open to what you are saying to us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in Jeremiah chapter 1, we have a young man, and he has this encounter with the Lord. Jeremiah is after Isaiah, if you haven't found it yet, before Lamentations. And here's what it says in Jeremiah 1:1. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests of Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I've put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over the nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. So what I'd like you to see here in this passage, and I'd like you to see this every Sunday that we come together and every day of your life, is that God is sovereign. God is in control. And he says to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, that's when life begins, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So I want you to think about that for a second, because this is where our human limitations kind of start to get in the way. Before you were even born, he knew you. And you can say, well, how can that be? Did I exist before I was actually born? No, I don't believe that's the case. Here is the case. God is outside of time. Okay, we live in time. We understand time. You know, I started a certain time, I finished a certain time. We get days and weeks, months and years, and minutes and seconds and things like that. We're constrained by time. God isn't. God is outside of time. So he can say to somebody who hasn't existed yet, I know you. I know this person. He is outside of time. I just want you to get today the scope of the greatness of God, his ability to see and know all things, and his ability to do all things. And in this passage, he calls Jeremiah to ministry. And he said, before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. I set you apart. So you look at this, and here's what's challenging for us as Americans. We like our personal freedom, and I'm thankful for our personal freedom. We don't like people telling us what to do. And maybe I shouldn't speak for everybody. I'll speak for myself. I don't like people telling me what to do. And maybe you feel the same way. But in this passage, God says, before he even came out of his mother's womb, that he had a plan for Jeremiah's life. He said, this is what you're going to do. And we may have a hard time with that. And I think the reason we have a hard time with that sometimes is because of pride. We want to do what we want to do. And maybe we want to include God in our plans and hope that he blesses our plans. But it really needs to be the other way around. It's us getting on board with God's plan. And it's us following his leading and his guidance in our lives. And, you know, maybe you have felt a call to a certain service or ministry in the past. Maybe you haven't. I can remember times when I felt called to ministries during my life, whether it was leading a Bible study or a Sunday school or whatever it is. And I can see how God worked in those ministries and things that I did. And I'm guessing you've had similar experiences. One time that I remember sitting in a church, the last church we attended, maybe 15 years ago, maybe even a little bit more, sitting in the pew, and a man got up in front of the church, and he announced that there was going to be a mission trip to Haiti. And I got to tell you, I felt like he was talking directly to me and only me. And I reached a point where I couldn't not go on that trip. Why was that so important? Why was there that compulsion to do that and to serve? And we were helping to build an orphanage down there. Looking back with perspective, here's what I can see. It was on that mission trip that I got to know the woman who's now my wife. It was on that mission trip that I got to know two little boys who are now my sons and who are now in their 20s. And just looking back on God's call, God has these plans that we, you know, at the time, I'm in my late 20s or early 30s, I had no idea. I didn't have these plans. God had plans. I think of my own call to ministry to be a pastor, and I've told you many times that I resisted that call. I don't want to do this. You know, I can't, you know, I don't like talking in front of people. I don't like standing up and have people looking at me. So I'll politely ask you all to turn around. But I made up excuses. As time went on, I just made up all these excuses. But it's not my plan. It's God's plan for me. Get on board with that plan. And I'll tell you what happened in my life, and this may not be the same that it happens for you, is I reached a point where I could not sleep at night because I knew that I wasn't following his leading, his guidance. I wasn't doing illegal things. I wasn't running around doing crazy things or anything like that. It's just, it wasn't part of his plan. I was sensing a call to a ministry, and I wasn't stepping forward until God basically just said, do it. And that's what he says to Jeremiah here. Jeremiah's excuse, I'm too young. That only lasts so long, by the way. You can only use that excuse for a certain amount of time. Eventually, you won't be able to say, I'm too young anymore. That's not a biblical excuse. That's not a valid excuse, I should say. It is in the Bible. I think about Moses' excuses when he's called to ministry. I can't speak. He says the same thing here. Moses gives four excuses until finally he gives the fifth excuse. Lord, send someone else. I don't want to do this. I really don't want to do this. And it says the Lord's anger burned against Moses in those days. And you almost see the stern nature of the rebuke to Jeremiah here. He says, do not say, I'm only a youth and I can't speak. You will go wherever I tell you, and you will speak whatever I tell you to speak. God is sovereign. God is in control. We like to think we have our own choices to make, but God rules over the universe and he rules over us, and it's much better off when we just fall in line with what he wants us to do. And my encouragement to you today is to ask this question of yourself, what is the Lord calling me to do? Maybe it's not quite as clear as this. What I encourage you to do is read the Word. Seek God in his Word. Seek him in prayer. Ask for guidance, ask for leading, and I'll tell you something else. If you are a Christian, you've all been given gifts, and those gifts are to be used for service. And some of those gifts are to be upfront gifts. People like the pastor who gets up and speaks every week, people like the musical worship leaders who are up front, and we see them leading us. But other gifts are more behind-the-scenes gifts. They're all so important. You know, I think about people who are in the finance ministry, you know, they count the money afterwards and they keep track of our budget, and I am so thankful that I'm not the one doing that because our books would be off. I'll just round it to the nearest 500, you know, whatever. It's close enough. And I'm glad we have people who have those gifts. Maybe behind, You might call them behind-the-scenes gifts, and God might be calling you to serve in that kind of ministry. I think about hospitality. It's more than just setting up food. It's enabling us to come together, break bread together, and grow together as a family. It's such an important ministry. We are commanded in Scripture to practice hospitality, and those gifts are important gifts. And I could list a lot of the other gifts, but God calls each one of us to serve. And, you know, you read a lot in Scripture where people are reluctant to step forward. I've told you I was reluctant to step forward. It's much better if we just step up and do what Isaiah said. I think of Isaiah chapter 6. And the Lord said, whom shall I send? Who shall go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. I want to have that kind of spirit. Here am I, send me. I want to do what you want, Lord. I don't want it to be my plan and my goal and my hope and my dream. I want to fulfill your plan. I want to get in line with you. Because God knows more. God knows better. God is greater. And God is in control. And you know what I've learned too? It's really hard to resist him. As a matter of fact, it's impossible. Think about what God can do. We can't resist him. But you know, you look at this passage and you think it's okay, God's giving him a stern, you know, command. But he also encourages him. In verse 8, he says, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you. So he gives him that encouragement. I think about the encouragement he gave to Joshua. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Be of good courage. Be strong and courageous, he says. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Sometimes the Lord calls you to do things that you might not normally want to do. And I want to read to you a couple of things that Jeremiah had to say to the people of Israel. In Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 34, this is Jeremiah speaking on God's behalf. He says, I will bring an end to the sounds of joy and gladness and to the voices of bride and bridegroom in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem, for the land will become desolate. Part of Jeremiah's ministry was to deliver a message of judgment. Do you think that was fun? Do you think he got up in the morning and said, yeah, I get to deliver this message of judgment? This was a grave message because they had walked away from the Lord and Babylon came in and they took them into exile. That was a difficult part of his ministry. But he also got to deliver messages of promise and hope. In Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. What a great thing that must have been to be able to give hope to people who were going through a difficult time. And that's our calling too. Your calling may not involve something that's easy all the time. Sometimes it might be fun or enjoyable, but ultimately the joy comes from doing what the Lord says, answering the call to what he calls us to do and being obedient to him, because we know that his plan is greater. And, you know, sometimes I think that people don't want to do a certain ministry because they say, I can't really do it like that person. That person's really good at this, and that person's really good at that, and I could never fill their shoes. And you know what? God doesn't call you to be somebody else. He calls you to be you, but he equips you. He gives you the gifts that you need. And one of the dangers that happens, I know, as a pastor, is sometimes there's this danger to try to imitate another pastor and be another preacher. And you know what? You know why it works for those other preachers? Is because God is using them and their personalities and their understanding and their intelligence and their gifts in a certain way. I don't have to be the same as them. I don't have to imitate each different pastor. God calls people. He also equips people. And that's what you see in Jeremiah. He calls Jeremiah and he equips Jeremiah. There are lots of excuses I've read in the Bible. I'm too young. I can't speak. I'm too old. There's a lot of different ones, but ultimately it comes down to what does the Lord want me to do and stepping in and doing what he calls us to do, whether it's easy, whether it's hard, whether it's, I don't want to use the word fun, but say fun, or whether it's not. God calls us to be faithful to Him. He will take care of the results. God is sovereign. He gets to choose our path, and we get to choose to follow Him. And that's where real joy comes, and that's where real blessing comes. And we're thankful that we serve a sovereign God who knows all and can do all. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your calling on Jeremiah's life and the people that we read about in Scripture. I thank you for your calling on each of our lives here. And I thank you for the people who are faithful to serve in ministry. And Lord, I thank you that you're calling other people in our church to new ministries. And I pray that you would raise people up to serve you, to be faithful to you. And Lord, my prayer for all of us is that we will come back with a quick answer. Here am I, Lord, send me. And that we would be faithful to do whatever you ask. I pray this in your mighty name. Amen.